Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Hi everyone, welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wes Lee. With me, as always, Rabbit.
Yeah, yeah.
How's it going, man?
It's going fucking great. In an NBA sense, it's going even better.
You're feeling a zen-like?
Well, I don't think I could be any higher right now as a Dubs fan. Golden State are ripping, top of the league, yep. Top of the West.
It's good. It's a good time
Bogut's
to be Golden
healthy.
State fan.
Curry'd be MVP at the moment, 11-game winning streak. Basketball speaking, I'm fucking flying.
Yeah. And obviously, my personal soulmate, Bag, how's it going?
It's going so good. I wanted to ask you something quickly.
Yeah.
Did you hear what the Suns are calling their new arena? New arena. I don't know why I said it.
The like, new arena.
It's a real talking point.
The
That's
rising
funny.
Sun? I don't
no,
know.
It's going to be the... It's going to be the Talking,
Steve Nash Arena.
The Talking Stick Resort Arena.
Gross.
There's a reason why.
Gross.
It's turning into basketball. It's going to be like the Maxi Tampon Arena and
Gross.
Stuff soon. It's happening. Talking Stick Resort Arena.
Unbelievable.
It's because they're the major sponsor
oh,
of the
no
Suns.
Oh, no shit.
It's
duh,
like,
yeah.
Why is that any better than the United Airlines Stadium?
It's not.
Because United
just...
has a bit of pedigree. Talking Stick.
Well, that's a Native American thing. You know, yeah. The Talking Stick... You know,
no, I don't know.
Not really
about the talking stick.
I don't know why you feel like you have to defend it.
It's like if we called it like the Woomera Arena here,
I just
like that's not cool.
I don't understand how it's any better or worse than Staples Center. They sell paper, glue,
no, sure, we're not disputing
highlighters.
What they sell. No one's judging them for their
no,
product.
Syllables.
It's just
syllables.
Too many words, and it's just that is the extreme of corporations sponsoring arenas. Like that's getting silly. We knew it was always going to be like that, but you know,
yep.
That's.
The talking stick is a tool used in many Native American traditions when a council is called.
Give a fuck.
hey, whatever.
All right,
anyway, that's hilarious.
I just got to say quickly, we have a special guest joining us on the podcast, David.
Hello, hello, hello. How do I sound?
Yeah, you sound fantastic.
Hi, guys. I just need to say straight off the bat, I'm very honored to be here. I'm a long-time listener of the show.
Yes.
I'd like to say that I'm great friends with two of you, brothers with one of you.
Yeah,
so
well.
This is a great honor for me. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my aim is to get you two into a screaming match at some point during the course of the podcast.
All you need to do is wheel out a ping pong table and just let things go to have that
yeah.
happen. But,
so on this podcast, we're going to be talking about a few things. Before we get into our Around the World segment, we're going to be talking, obviously, about the Grizz. We're going to talk about Detroit, the 76ers, the Bobcats. We're going to do a couple douches, a little bit of yes and no. First, though, I just want to ask you guys, did anyone hear what happened at the Nets-New York game? This is a bit weird. In the crowd, and this is Luke Death told me this one, but there was
shout
a
out
super,
to Luke Death
yeah,
again.
That's like
he's the, leading the league in shout outs on the podcast.
Yeah, right.
Podcast in shout outs.
So there was a super fan of
Brooklyn
in the stadium, and he has one leg, and he was
I
getting
did hear
really
about
rowdy.
This. Yes,
and the one-legged man was getting so out of control. People were booing him and telling him to shut up and da da. He detached his leg. And then put it on top of his head so people behind him couldn't see. And eventually security grabbed him.
Mm.
And the video is him getting lifted out of the whole stadium as the entire crowd's going, boo!
Unbelievable.
Fuck you!
What was his
Heavy.
Beef? It was he just hating
he was
the
waving
that,
his leg
yeah.
in the air and blocking people's view. He had it on his head and stuff.
Sure, but like, was he upset that...
No, he's just being
Brooklyn
an annoying movie. Brooklyn fan.
That's outrageous.
Very strange.
I think one thing we've learned from South Africa is to not piss off someone who's had their legs amputated.
That's so edgy.
Something
like
also weird I saw, and I think you'll appreciate this one, Dave, is after the Raptors-Lakers game, the headline for the report was, Kobe Bryant turns back the clock.
Yeah, look, I've got a bit of a beef with this one, personally, because I just feel like every time he does... anything that's like not a jump shot. It's like, oh, Kobe turns back the clock. It's like a highlight reel for Kobe.
He had 31 points, 12 assists, 11 rebounds in that game. This is a team he scored 81 points against one time.
Well, he is turning back the clock, though, to 2005, where all his teammates suck and he has to shoot 35 times a game.
Yeah. Hey, Bag, just the last little thing I got to say about Kobe. And I think it's okay that we're talking about him because in a couple of years, he's not going to be playing anymore. But he was asked who's the best ever trash talkers, you know, that he's ever played against.
Uh-huh.
And he said Gary Payton, Kevin Garnett, and Reggie Miller.
That's a given. That's a given.
But then the last one, he said Scottie Pippen.
Yeah. Pippen was, like, gnarly trash talker.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Tony Kukoc.
Yeah.
Like, in the Olympics and stuff, they were mad
Pippen
for him.
Seemed to get more inspired to talk trash the older he got. Like, he was a cat when he played for the Trailblazers. Yeah. People always said it, and he was, like, super smug and arrogant, and he kind of injected that into that Portland team.
And just really quickly before
wait, hold on, I got another one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What about Pippen? What about Pippen calling out the mailman when he was at the free throw line? Clutch shots. They were tied for game one of the 97 or 96 finals, and he's like, the mailman don't deliver on Sunday, bro. And he bricked both free throws. And then Jordan hit the game winner.
He literally said bra as well.
Yeah, totally.
He was ahead of his time.
And what's going on with Kendrick Perkins?
Oh, you're asking me? I love it. Yeah. It's music to my ears.
Tell me about it.
Oh, Spates just called him out. Perkins was giving Spates a lot of shit. And he's like, what was the exact quote? He said, like, his game is terrible.
Yeah.
And he's right. Someone said it. It's music to our ears. We've been saying it for ages. Mm. He's a dinosaur. Get off the court.
He's actually not been as terrible as he usually
Define not terrible.
Kendrick Perkins. Like, he's, you know, the last couple of years he's been negative.
Yeah, totally.
But in the last few weeks, the coming off the bench, he's actually, like, had a couple of solid games. A useful NBA player.
Oh, not to me.
All right, well, let's get into the...
Not the intro for the fucking last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Longest intro ever.
That's all right. We can chop it.
What's going on?
But let's get into the meat of the podcast where we hit our segment Around the World. And I'm going to start it off. That's right.
Smooth listening.
All right, I want to talk about the Grizzlies.
Fuck yeah.
They're in first place. Marc Gasol, possibly the best center in the NBA, even though Bogut's got the best plus-minus at the moment, which is crazy.
Does
I don't
he?
Know if you knew that. Yeah,
yeah
at
right.
the moment.
It's valuable.
He looks like a bear. how do you spell the coach's Dave?
Jaeger.
Jaeger, like Jaegermeister.
Yeah, like from Pacific Rim.
Western Conference Coach of the Month.
He should be. Well, yeah. Except Kerr, like, but he'll get it soon. I can't believe they didn't give it to Kerr.
Yeah,
first month in.
It's a coin toss.
Fairy tale run. Mm.
Now, they did recently just lose to the Rockets, but the Rockets seem a bit streaky. But are we gonna maybe comfortably say, you know, like the Bulls are in the East, like the team that you love to match up against because they're just a hard, gritty team. If you beat them, it's a statement about your team. Are the Grizzlies that for the West? Like, if you beat the Grizzlies, you're a great team.
I think there's probably a handful of teams in the West you could say that about, but definitely, yeah, totally.
Mm.
Probably, and that's probably been the case for the last 3 years, that, you know, you go into, especially if you go into their building and get a win, that, you know, you'll take that every time. You sort of dread going in there, I would say.
I don't think they inspired as much fear or as much respect now. Like, they command more respect now because they're a more complete team.
Mm.
Like you said, Gasol's the best center in the league. Well, I would say he's the most complete center in the league right now, for sure. Mm. His passing, his awareness, his willingness to get other guys involved.
Yeah.
His pick and roll game with Conley is probably as good, if not better, than say Paul and Jordan or something like that. You know, like.
Yeah.
That's a huge plus for them this season.
Because, he can flare out and shoot jumpers and also facilitate from the high post as well.
Exactly.
He's way more lethal than pretty much anyone.
And his D's always been amazing. So,
Tony Allen and Z-Bo just seem like crazy robots. They're just so consistent. They don't seem to age almost. But Z-Bo's getting on a little bit.
Well, Z-Bo and Marc Gasol went into a bit of a fitness binge over the off-season. And it's really showing with Z-Bo. I think he looks really svelte for, you know, he's just been sort of getting a little bit stockier as the years go by. But he's
looking engaged, though.
Yeah.
Engaged in the offense more so than just, hey, dump it down to Zebo in the post, see what happens. He's deferring shots. Like, you got to say he's probably third option now. Conley's second option, I reckon, for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
And, you know, you called it at the start of the season, you know, shout out to Bag over there, called the Grizz.
You did.
I called it a little bit in terms of Conley, and I'm pretty stoked he's, like, coming into his own a bit. He's almost at all-star level now, I reckon.
Yeah, if he was in the East, he'd be an all-star for sure. You're just behind an amazing
but,
run of
you know,
point
like
guards.
We said, he's more clutch. He's a much better ball handler.
Yep.
He's running the offense now, like legitimately running the offense. Like you can notice a difference when he goes out of the game. I think that's great. I think that's all they needed. I think they needed him to come into his own. It looks like, you know, Randolph's like happy to defer a little bit and go, yeah, you know.
Do you think they're going to finish first? I mean, it's a huge thing
to
talk
about. Yeah, it's hard to say. You'd expect you wouldn't expect anyone to have a better record than San Antonio.
San Antonio are about fifth at the moment, I think, aren't they? But whatever, you know, they'll get it together.
It's hard to say, but you wouldn't be surprised, would you, if they maintain this because, you know, the way they play is it's winning basketball.
I think a lot of people, they've snuck up on a lot of people. You know, I had them finishing seventh or eighth, I think. Sixth, maybe, sorry. But you had him higher, much higher. Hey.
Yeah, I can't remember where I had him.
Do you think a lot of it has to do with maybe the new coach and not Lionel Hollins?
I think it's more, you saw at the end of last year when Gasol was in the lineup, they had the best record in the league over that last period of time and coming into this year.
Yeah.
So the foundation was there. That was the reason why I sort of picked him high because, you know, they were winning games when everyone was on deck. Courtney Lee was involved. They've added Vince Carter, Pondexter came back.
Pondexter with a huge block. Ridiculous.
But, you know, they're the pieces they needed. And I think the main thing with them is that everyone knows what they're there to do. There was this bit of a, weird vibe when Tony Allen went to the bench. He's entrenched himself as the starter now. Mm. Tayshaun Prince has gone to the bench, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and I think they played Tayshaun Prince too much last season.
100%.
Yep.
But now, you know, like, he's at that stage of the career where he's going to have to be cool with that. Mm. Kufis is a backup who knows he's a backup. Yep. It's not like a Gortat in Orlando situation where he wants to start.
It would be safe to say Denver put too much on McGee and they probably should have never gotten rid of him.
They played better when he was on the court. The numbers suggested that for sure.
Yeah, he's handy. He's a very handy backup center. I think most teams would dig him. I think everyone's just bought in a lot better, and I think there's a bit of maturity with a few key guys. Tony Allen's still like decking cameramen, but that's Tony Allen. You know, you get the whole package. But whatever, you know, I think everyone's bought in. Seems like the ball's moving well, and you know, they can win games. They can grind out games. You know, and that's big.
Is it an exciting brand of basketball? Like, Dave, when you are going through all the games of the day, do you get excited when you see, oh, the Grizz are playing?
They're just very consistent. I don't know if I'd say they're like a highlight factory, you know? Like, but when Grizzly games are on, I kind of want to watch it more than most. Yeah. Like, that's something I gravitate towards. Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know if, I mean, when it was playoff season the last couple of years, it was definitely, like, got to watch the Grizz. But during regular season, I don't know if I was as excited, but definitely now it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's hard to sign up for, like, 89, 78 games and stuff like that. But say that, you know, when the playoffs roll around, who would you most want to see the Grizzlies play in a playoff series?
Like in the Western Conference Finals?
No, like in any playoff series. Like, who's...
Not the Clippers.
Are you thinking
I'm
the Spurs?
Sick of that series.
Yeah, I think everyone's sick of that.
You know, there's a fact, I think, is like the last 4 years, the Grizz have only played three teams in the playoffs. It's Oklahoma, it's the Grizz,
and
the
Spurs. Didn't they lose to the Spurs? Yeah.
What about, like, Grizz and Dallas?
That'd be good.
Like, that'd be really cool.
Totally.
I reckon.
Think that'd be
anybody
great.
In Dallas would be great. Yeah. I think a Spurs rematch would be great. You know, like, they got smoked the last time they played them, and it'd be great to, like, come back and...
If you flip it around, though, and you say, who would the Grizz fear the most in the playoffs if they, say, went in as the number one seed? You'd say, you know, they could... Houston would be a really interesting one for them. I think they could handle Houston.
Yeah.
Sure, but, like, I think they fear San Antonio if you're the Grizz.
Yeah.
Who
and
are you fearing
I think,
the most?
Golden State as well.
In a seven-game series, though, do you think... Well, Golden State are on a tear, but do you think the Grizz could handle them more so than the Spurs when you argue?
I think, the Grizz are pretty well equipped because you've got Conley and Allen guarding the gangbusters perimeter players.
Yep.
And then, you know, Gasol, the bigs, they probably have an advantage in the front court.
You think Gasol could handle Bogut better than he could handle Duncan? Fair?
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. And then you got DR sitting there as well, who's matching up with him. Randolph DR. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I think that's what I want the most. I think you got VG.
Anyway.
Spurs, Grizzlies. Yeah.
And plus, because they got history as well, it's nice to see. And they're sort of the same teams.
Yeah.
It's so rare to see guys on the set, like, that have been on the same team for a few years play each other in a playoff series multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so rare. And we need it. The league, it's better for the league. So absolutely. I'll be into that.
All right. Around the world, Rabbit, who you got?
Well, from like a streaking like pleasure to watch team to a fucking bloodbath in Detroit. I mean, I feel sorry for a few guys there, but I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, everyone's so positive. Like, oh, Stan Van Gundy's teams don't lose like fucking, you know, 40 games. Oh, Stan Van Gundy's going to get it together there. Fucking really? Because it's not. It's frustrating. Josh Smith is like, I can't see anyone more toxic to a team at the moment in the NBA right now than Josh Smith. And that's harsh, but like, it's true. He's stinking. And he's like making them stink. He got benched. Do you see that the other day? Last 16 minutes of the game, just benched. Don't want to know about him.
Except for the guy who does the names on the back of the jerseys and spells their last names wrong.
Get this. Here's a fucking crazy stat. They shoot 39% with Smith on the floor as a team.
Wow, it's really?
Gross. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got three starters that shoot under 40%.
Yep. And no one shoots over 50 on the whole team.
What happened gross. To Smith? Because I thought he was great in Atlanta. Jay like, Smooth. he was carrying the team, like, a lot. He was, like, their go-to guy, right, in Atlanta.
He's always been a bit of a myth. Like, you know, he's a highlight reel. He was always pretty steady. But he shouldn't shoot threes.
Well, he just takes silly shots, threes. You know.
His mid-range game is questionable. You know, I really liked him when he was playing well, but it seemed always like a little bit of a, you know, like it's all shimmer. There's no real substance, you know?
Can I say, though, outside of Greg Monroe, Van Gundy took on a team, and these guys were already signed a contract.
$54 million over 4 years.
Yeah. Brandon Jennings Fox. Signed on.
Gross.
So do you think there's a little bit in him that's going to be like, oh, Andre Drummond, you know, he
well, it's not all like
be an all-star.
Yeah.
Let's build the team around him and kind of...
Well, he took the job knowing what the roster was.
Yeah.
So he must have some idea, and obviously he's going to change things over time. He brought Jody Meeks in.
Yeah, DJ Augustine.
You know, you got to look at it and go, okay.
Caron Butler. It's so gross.
Well, who takes the fall? Because you're looking at it going, well, it's not all Josh Smith. Like, Jennings is sucking. Drummond's sucking.
Kyle Singler sucks.
Monroe's playing pretty average. Like, everyone's healthy, you know? So what is it? Is it Stan's system?
Yeah, I guess it's getting acclimated to it. And yeah. Drummond's coming on a little bit. He's had a couple of monster games in the last week or so.
It's not enough.
So, but not enough to get him wins.
Yeah.
But it's got to be a trade. It has to be a trade.
Yeah, it's because, looking that way.
And the funny thing is, you know, and it's looking more and more likely that it's going to be Smith. If they want to do it this year, it has to be Smith.
Well, there are teams that would probably still be interested in him now.
Sacramento are.
What's Smith's contract?
He's got 3 years, $13.5 million per, including this season.
It's not terrible money if he can get out of this funk, you know what I mean? And if he can be maybe more of a go-to guy on a, you know, yeah, like a Sacramento. But they've already got Cousins there.
Yeah, well, I think that's sort of a fit. Playing next to Cousins would be better, playing next to a really polished post scorer, because then he should be a guy that's getting like 12, 8, a block, and, you know, like three assists and a steal a game.
Sleep.
You know, but like, but that's, I don't think you want to ask any more of him offensively.
He was doing more than that in Atlanta.
Yeah, because, but they had a really nice, like, ISO team, perimeter oriented team. And that sort of suited his skill set, because he could be a dive guy and pick and rolls and finish and attack the rim.
Dude,
and stuff.
You know where he should fucking go?
The Suns.
Fucking A. They got a nice perimeter game. They got all the boys there.
Yeah.
He could complement that team.
Yeah, you got to be under 6 feet.
Who are you playing? Plumlee and fucking Smith next to each other?
Who are you playing now?
They're putting all their
Markieff Morris.
In.
There you go.
What's your beef with Markieff?
I'd rather have Josh Smith
No,
I don't think so either.
No. Too selfish, makes dumb plays. Markieff's a team player, and
get him to buy in.
He was like second in line for most improved last year, I think.
I think it's all psyche.
All right, let's focus on the positive of Detroit.
How great is
Joel Anthony playing for the team?
Biggest forehead in the game.
I haven't even seen him.
And look, like, hey, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't still want to go, hey, there's a bandwagon. It's obvious they're fucking 3-14 like, okay, suck
3-16.
3-16 now. Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. Hey, everyone hate Detroit. It's not like that. I just had higher hopes for him.
Love
you
Detroit.
Know?
No, I think
I like Van Gundy. It's so like I'm disappointed more than, you know, like just hating, you know.
Do you think at all this is a representation of maybe Detroit at the moment? Like, almost went bankrupt as a city?
That's reaching like my selfie one before, I think. You're reaching on my Kobe thing.
I think it's more that it's the 10-year anniversary of the malice, but it's going to be like a reverse malice where someone jumps out of the crowd and punches the players because it's getting that bad. 3-16, something's got to give.
Yeah.
All right.
They're coming dead last in field goal percentage and effective field goal percentage.
It's pretty hideous out there.
Very rank. And no one's scoring more than 15. Jennings. Yeah. They need a lead dog, and they need it to not be Smith or Jennings.
So, from one kind of shit team to another, or do you want to get in disappointment?
Right. Well, yeah, I got a bit of a segue, right? You were talking about into my segment, I'm gonna talk about the dreadful Hornets.
Sure.
Who says no this trade? Yep. Josh Smith and KCP. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yep.
For Lance Stephenson and Gary Neal.
Ooh.
So Charlotte get a power forward to play next to Al Jefferson.
Yep, sure.
KCP is a young two guard. They're not really swimming in options there.
Yeah, yeah.
Detroit get a secondary playmaker, get rid of the glut of bigs, and they also get Gary Neal, who's a knockdown 3-point shooter.
Yeah, and a savvy veteran. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who says
do you really
no?
think and Lance? Sorry, go on.
Sorry, and the salaries match.
Yeah.
I put it like you can't trade Stevenson till the end of the year or something because he just signed a new contract.
Yeah.
But who says no there?
Well, you can't trade him till the end of the season.
No, end of the like this calendar year.
Oh yeah, a couple of weeks. Okay.
So in that
I don't know.
You're basically kind of are you saying kind of Lance Stevenson is not performing well, so he's maybe peaked in Indiana and you're putting him on a Josh Smith level and you just said Josh Smith sucks. So are you saying Lance Stevenson sucks?
Well, he's sucking.
Yeah, sucking.
But you don't think he'll come around?
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I was in Charlotte, I wouldn't be giving up on the Stevenson era.
Yeah,
whatever, they're 4-15, 19 games in.
It is MJ. He does make rash decisions.
Yeah. But, you know, you're at a stage now where, you know, the rest of the league's probably thinking the same thing. If he plays a full season like this, then his value is going to be a rock
and
bottom.
No one will touch that contract.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But now, at least he's got some goodwill still going from the Indiana thing. Everyone's giving Cleveland more time to gel.
Yeah.
So you should probably give Charlotte the time also.
It's a good trade, though. That's pretty interesting. I like
that. Yeah, you like that?
I do.
I don't think I'd do it.
I was just going to say about Al Jefferson's face. I can't believe that Charlotte are playing terrible defense because Al Jefferson's nose has wingspan. Like Al Jefferson's face can like block the whole lane.
Have you ever seen the Twilight Zone where the guy is bandaged and they unwrap him? And he's like, oh, I'm hideous. And they're like, oh, he's hideous. And then he looks out and they're all pig people.
Yes, I remember that.
Remember that classic Twilight Zone?
I thought you were talking about the Joker in Batman where he falls in the acid and then he hears his face. He's like, mirror, and he smashes it. Yeah.
All right,
but wait, what happened to Jefferson? Because he played great in Boston. He played great for like the first, 2 years in Charlotte?
Played fantastic at the end of the last season.
What's happened to Jefferson?
He's not playing terrible. But
I think he's fantastic.
Yeah. But you know he's not
playing bad at all.
He's just not reaching the lofty heights of last year just yet.
And no one's reaching it on Charlotte. They were a playoff team apparently, remember?
Yeah. I had him finishing 6th this year.
I had him 8th. We wanted him in the playoffs.
But you know, Lance is shooting 38%, taking 11 shots a game. Mm-hmm. Kemba's shooting 36%, shooting 14 shots a game. Effectively,
so
that's like the worst shooting backcourt in the
league. Integration of Lance is why maybe Jefferson's not hitting or taking as many shots and scoring 28, 32 a game because there's another.
No,
well, but like he's got to get his.
It's a bit of a different look. So,
but I don't think he's that much of a game changer. Like he only averaged like 13 in Indiana. You know, he's an injection of energy. He does all those little things when he's at his peak. He's never like a guy to take shots away from anyone. You know, Paul George wasn't going, I need fucking more shots because Lance is taking him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Jefferson can use that as an excuse. I just think that either the chemistry's fucked, the defense is fucking awful, just quietly.
Yeah.
You know, Lance is shooting 17% from threes.
Yeah, that's rank. So rank.
And also, you know, like with the thing with Jefferson as well is that they're playing Marvin Williams next to him, which is different from last year. He was over in Utah. Mm. He's averaging 6 a game and getting out-rebounded by Kemba Walker when he's playing. I like Cody Zeller next to him a lot more.
Oh,
I think
dude,
that's a long
your boy Cody Zeller threw down so vicious.
Yes.
Oh.
So did Pau Gasol.
Fuck.
Yeah. How good Pau even jump?
He looked at him in the face before he did it.
Was there a little push up at the end as well? Or?
He just came in with steam and Pau had nothing.
Two hands.
Yeah, it was massive.
So,
one plus for Charlotte.
Highlight reel.
Is there any chance they make the playoffs? They've had the second toughest schedule of any team in the East.
They're running out of time. They're going to have to pull out like a pretty crazy winning streak.
I don't think so. I don't.
The thing
Boston are ahead of them. Orlando are ahead of them. Indiana are ahead of them. Yeah, but it's still early Boston. Days. You know.
That's a benefit for them that all those teams are in front of them.
Sure. Yeah. 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 But like, you got to be careful how long you leave it to make your run. What are they talking? They're like fucking. How many games behind the eighth spot are they already?
4-15 at the moment.
Yeah.
But don't you think? Maybe a part of that is because they've lost so many close games that starts to dwell on you. That starts to affect you mentally. It's not like a blowout game and you come back and, you know, they're losing like overtime games, losing by a basket, Kemba Walker missing the, you know, how many times have you seen that? Like, there's been some fantastic games. I watched a lot of their games. I don't hate this team. I actually feel
like you are talking about my Boston Celtics right now.
Yeah.
Because they seem to just play every game as hard as they can, and then we're beating a team by 18, 20 points, and we just have no closes, and we can't close out the games, and it's like one thing after another.
Yeah.
Sully takes a bad shot. Jeff Green takes a last shot. We have no closes, and it's just
I think it's different, though, because I have never seen really Charlotte be like 20 points ahead or 15 points ahead. They're always like up six, down, and they're always, you know, but they're always sticking with it. I think that grind, once you start losing all those grinds mentally, that's really hard to kind of overcome.
Sure. The Golden State game was such a good microcosm of that. They're up 8 at the beginning of the fourth, and that's when Maurice Spates went fucking postal.
Yeah.
And there were wide open jump shots every time. Mm. You're like going, how can you not make these basic adjustments and just figure out what's going on? When you're playing, exactly. It's basic shit.
That seems immaturity a little bit. Did you see Walker fucking put Mirotic on his ass?
Loved it.
That was amazing.
Yeah, full of highlights that game, but no W.
Yeah. Even Jordan gave it a little, you see the reaction.
He loves
MJ.
It. Oh, yeah. And good on him, you know, for being a billionaire and going to every game, you know, like,
fuck else is he going to do?
Well, play golf with Obama?
He's sold his house. He's obviously living there, but like, you know,
he's got to fuck married women. He's got shit to do.
Yeah, but he doesn't stand in like the VIP area up top and just, you know, occasionally
he knows where he knows where the cameras are, dude.
Oh.
He's sitting on the end of the bench.
You think it's for that?
I think he's still, I was talking to you the other day, David.
Yeah.
And you were like, we were talking about it, and I'm like, MJ still thinks he can, like, be effective now.
I think you got that out of context.
He was
in that 50th anniversary interview with Ahmad Rashad, and they were talking about, you know, he was saying, what is it like to watch these games? And you know, you're an owner now, and you can't be as dominant in the game as you were physically. How does it feel? Because you've still got that competitive fire in you. And then you sort of thought that he was going, what did you think he said? I can't dominate.
Not what I think he said. He said, I can do things on the court. I can influence games. I can have an impact. When I'm not on the court, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating.
Which I reckon he was talking about the
past.
I could.
So you say past tense. You don't say I can. You say I could.
I think you're misconstruing it personally.
Well,
I just think he means right now. Like,
straight up grammar.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Would you
put it past MJ? Would you guys put it past MJ to think
no.
He could still take on, like, hit fadeaway baseline jumpers like he did for Washington?
What was his Hall of Fame speech? You know, I might be back.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. I was too busy looking at his over massive suit that was like 10 sizes too big
with the
shoulder pads out here. It's like,
he'd be a small ball power forward now.
Yeah, hard.
He'd be fine.
Or a stretch four, he'd be fine.
All right, enough of this. It's time for douche of the week.
But you were my douche, Brian. My douche.
Yeah,
could be my douche again.
That's all I got. We need to make some music or something.
I like that though.
Who you got, Rabbit?
Tell me anyone you know who isn't playing basketball, like a player on the court, who is chasing the spotlight so blatantly. He's done it before. Remember, maybe jump running down the court doing a blocking foul gesture.
It's my man Marco's best friend.
He's bold. He's aggressive. He's unnecessarily.
He looks like a
over
turtle.
The top.
The guy who skips during basketball games.
So Joey Crawford was at it again in the Kings versus Grizz game.
Yeah.
Loose ball foul on Randolph after a putback. So you just have to wave it off. Just blow your whistle, wave it off. That's a foul.
But instead,
no, he goes fucking hands skip everywhere. You know the wave off gesture. So he's jumping. You know, like everyone can fucking see him from the scorer's table. They don't have a problem spotting him. But he's got to be like,
skip to my
everyone lid. Look at me, everyone look at me. And it's not like, you know, there's like any chance of someone not seeing him. He's blown a whistle, everyone stops. Okay, you look at the ref. But oh no, like you have to accentuate it. You have to, it's just so blatantly obvious that he wants the spotlight. And it's gross.
Yeah.
Fuck off, Joey Crawford.
I think it was the best thing we put on our FCP podcast all week.
Fucking yeah, on our Joey Facebook Crawford's page. If you haven't seen the video, it's on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/FCP podcast.
He's a tweaker.
Fuck him. Get a plug.
All right. Well, I'm going to go next. I'm going to go with Evan Turner, your mate from the Celtics, Dave.
I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me.
He called Kyle Korver. He said he was shit on defense.
Yeah, he said he can't play D.
And I believe in the second half, he held Rondo to only 2 assists.
Yeah,
no
they
points.
Switched Korver onto Rondo.
Glass houses, man.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Great anecdote. Yeah, love it.
Who do you have?
Did you just come up with that, BJ? Oh, wow. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah, fucking... How dare you talk smack about Korver? He's legit.
Yeah. It's Bull's biggest He's mistake so in the last 5 years.
Especially if
him.
You're Evan Turner and, like, you just everywhere you go, you fucking lose.
How's your D on Jeff Teague there, bro? That game?
No.
Pretty sure you got smoked.
Yeah.
Shouldn't throw rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, shouldn't fuck Lance Stevenson's girlfriend or whatever happened to
heavy,
her.
Heavy.
I've got, and I kind of feel bad, and Dirk Nowitzki feels bad also, Captain Kirk Heinrich up 3 versus Dallas. 4.2 seconds to play. Fouls Monte Ellis 28 feet from the basket after he picked up his dribble.
And it was a wraparound foul. Like, he was fouling him. He wasn't, like, making a play for the ball. He was just trying to wrap him up.
No, he was making the right play in terms of fouling him.
Yeah, but
he just did it so late and so stupidly.
Yeah, exactly.
And so Monte hit all the free throws and they go on to win the game.
That was free throws. My favorite game of the year so far. If you haven't watched it, Bulls versus Dallas, double overtime.
Great game.
You could say in that moment that is essentially, when you look back at it, what lost, you know, the Bulls would have had that in the bag if he hadn't committed that foul. Like,
he was
going to
shoot it. I don't think, he wasn't anticipating the foul.
Oh, I don't know. I think he was going to shoot it, but he saw Heinrich coming.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't elevating with, like, you know, any sort of, like, pretty jump shot. Like,
no.
He was off balance.
He was making a move, though.
To get
like,
fouled.
Yeah. But, like, he was going to shoot the ball, and he was, like, running and sort of out of control.
There's no way Monte's hitting a shot from there. Like,
but they're down. They're down 3. So, like,
he's
got to
shoot it.
What's he going
to
do?
No, totally. I'm not against Monte. Monte had to take that shot, and it's great that he got fouled. But I'm saying, if I'm the Bulls and I'm Heinrich, I'm not, like, touching. I'm going to contest it, but Monte's not hitting a 28-footer on the run. I'm going to contest it.
He just got caught in no man's land.
Yeah. You don't think so?
Given.
Well, if you saw I just
thought it was a bailout.
Jumper he hit to win
the
game.
The next night.
I saw that. That was killer.
Dude, Monte's on a tear right now.
Yeah, he's amazing.
That was a travel, though.
I understand.
Yeah, wasn't it? Wasn't it a travel?
Travel.
Oh, fucking hell. But one thing I'll give credit to the Bulls, the next night versus Charlotte, they went out of their way to, like, beat off Heinrich.
Yeah.
They were giving him heaps of love. And,
that's
how you get someone back on
track.
He hit a clutch
three from the corner with a minute to go to ice the game. Huge. And they were all over him. And that's cool.
See, yeah, that's the system, cool. though. They all buy into it. And they're all...
And he's a great player.
You know, the Bulls don't get hung up
he's
on one moment.
It's not easy being a little white guy with weird, creepy cricket glasses, you know, playing with the Bulls.
I think he's very appreciated.
But he's had
Chicago.
Some big games to them as well. Yeah. Like, even this
Heinrich's
season
money.
Already.
Yeah, Heinrich's money.
He's a stalwart.
He's closed games, yeah.
All right, let's just move into a couple yes or no's, okay? I just got a couple for you.
Love it.
All right? Yes or no? We'll start with JB, a.k.a. Bag. Is Marc Gasol the best big man in the NBA right now?
Yeah, I think that's pretty easy.
Rabbit?
Who's better?
Yeah, I like I said before, the best complete center in the league. For
Most
sure.
consistent, I reckon, as well. I'm going with yes for sure.
Yep. Better than Powell?
Yeah, probably. Maybe Henry Sims from the 76ers would be up there.
Is the 1-16 76ers, how bad they are, is it bad for the NBA league?
Yeah, I reckon it is. Because Well, the thing that shits me about it, I've always been anti-tanking. They put it to a vote with the owners to make it, you know, less beneficial to lose games. And they voted against it because half of the teams are trying to do it. And what you do is this is a big fuck you to the fans. And I don't know why you would want to go and watch a team that's constructed to lose.
To lose.
You know, and it makes it hard for us, the viewer, as well. Like, going like, you know, if they're a plucky 76ers team, you have a last place team that competes every night, you know?
And everyone loves, like, an underdog thing where, like, the shit team who are like, oh, that's Philly, oh, that's a win. And it's hard, and they compete, and you're like, I know about these Sixers are actually got some fight in them. It's not, doesn't exist, but you want to see that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, they're sucking, but they're still trying. But, you know, they got shit players or they got, like, a bad environment or their arena's falling apart, fucking whatever. But that's not the case, you know? There's no place to go, oh, but this is the reason. There is no reason. They want to lose.
Yeah.
And that's shit.
And, you know,
that's
shit
for any sport.
It's long-term, you know, plans and whatever. But, you know, why would anyone want to pay for a product that's built to fail?
Totally.
I think it's totally wrong.
Well, because it'll get better later.
Dave, what do you think? Tanking for 76ers?
Yeah, I just thought that them compared to last year is a whole different beast. Like, I watched a few 76ers games, probably at this time last season. I watched it, MCW was new, I was watching him, he was kind of, you know, going on a tear, and I think they're a completely different team this season and not fun to watch at all. And
anyway, we're getting into the 76ers in the next segment, obviously. Let's not.
All right, here's another one, then I'm going to flip it. So is the Lakers being in, you know, second last place bad for the league? A franchise, you know, one of the biggest franchises, most successful teams of all time. Is it bad for the NBA that they're in second last in the West?
I'm going to say no. I don't think so. It shows that organizations can be human and they can fall from grace and come back. And that's good from if you're any other team in the league where you're like, hey, we've been shit. We can get better. Even the Lakers are human, you know, they're sucking. Even an organization like that is sucking, you know, it happens. They're human. It's basketball.
Okay. Next, yes or no?
Of course.
So Amari was having a go at the Knicks after they lost to the Thunder. And let's face it, Amari sucked for the last 2 years, 3 years. And he's playing good, you know, the start of the season.
Certainly contributing.
Absolutely. Mm. But does Amari have the right to give the Knicks shit?
Yes. Because he gives a fuck. Mm. And he's never, like, his body failed him. That's the only thing. It wasn't through lack of heart or lack of effort. He's, like, he's done more than anyone on
Someone's
that
team. Someone's
got to. Yeah.
He's and if Melo's not going to, like, why should he? May as well be on.
Yeah. I'm paying for it. And he's backing it up with his play as well, which is good.
All right. So, you guys heard Sebastian Telfair dropped.
Got waved.
It's poor one out for Bassey.
So do you think that's the end of Sebastian Telfair's career in the NBA? Bag. Yes or no?
If someone's, you know, like willing to take another punt on him, but I don't know. Someone maybe for minimum, I don't know.
If you're a 5'10 point guard who can't shoot,
I think he's going
to
Greece
to get a gig. He'll probably end up league.
Dave?
Okay. Yeah. What pick was he like? Top five or?
I think he would have gone top 10 or something like that. Okay. Maybe just outside the
top. So lots of fanfare when he came into the league.
Yeah. He actually did all right for OKC while he was playing too, which is strange.
But just all right, maybe.
But you know, like you look at some of the guys that they've maintained on that team, and he was the one that got picked off. Mm. You know, they don't really have a true other backup point guard. They're playing Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
So you know, they mustn't have much faith in him.
All right. Has everyone seen the new All-Star uniforms?
Yeah. Very minimal. I like it.
I fucking love them.
I'm going to go as far as saying I think they're the best
That's
All-Star
my question.
Uniforms I've ever seen.
Are they the best All-Star uniforms of all time?
I can't think of any better ones.
No, they're stealth.
It's the first time I've ever personally
Old
thought about purchasing
stealth.
An All-Star uniform jersey ever in my whole life.
No sleeves.
The irony is...
No sleeves
the irony
is a huge
is,
thing.
Would you even know they're an All-Star uniform?
That's... Well, yeah, because they got the stars on the side, and it's very weird.
You wouldn't know, I don't reckon. Look, we're just Googling them. Look at those things.
We're just Googling them.
So, just getting back to it, are they the best All-Star jerseys you've ever seen?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
I'm all in.
So, you know, just last yes or no here. I don't know if you guys heard, but they've pushed back when we vote on the All-Star game. Do you think it's a good thing they've pushed it back?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. We would have had to do it by now. which is crazy. You know, like we've barely seen Dwight Howard.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's great.
You know, there's a bunch of guys that haven't played. Durant's another one.
Yeah.
You know, like these guys would have got voted in off spec pretty much.
You know what they got to sort of try and do rather than push it back or whatever is, can you vote as many times as you want, can't you?
Yeah. No. Can you?
I'm pretty sure online. You can.
I think you can vote via Twitter, and so
I'm pretty sure you can vote unlimited. And that's what happened when, remember, like Yao Ming and all that stuff, and all, like all of China voted for him and shit. Yeah, you know, and generally. He was injured. He didn't even make it, you know. Things like that need to...
Same with Kobe. Kobe was realistic. Voted in as it started last year.
Yeah, he told him not to, remember? Yeah.
And Chris Paul, I think.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
Can I ask you one?
Yeah.
Do you think Monte Ellis is, like, legit this season?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am, yeah, bandwagoning Dallas all the way to the end.
Cool.
Definitely my second favorite team to watch this year.
I'm gonna say, like, I don't think he's playing that differently than when he was in Golden State.
I agree with what you said.
Yeah, there was like, oh, he's being so selfish. I see him do drop-off passes. He made Andres Bjelland's a legitimate NBA option. Andres Bjelland got paid $50 million.
It's outrageous.
Because Monte was drive and dishing, and all he had to do was catch and put it in the hole.
Yeah, Eric Dampier
is another one.
Yeah.
He was doing it the whole time.
Yep.
And they had a terrible team. And it was like going, his game hasn't changed all that much.
What
he's
about
just got
when
more
he was
options.
In...
So you think it's just geography? Like, you think it's just the team he's on? Like,
with better team talent. Now. Yeah. Much better coach. Yeah. And, you know, and he's playing more controlled, less terrible shooting
Way more
and turnovers.
And he's not probably asked to do as much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. He's just,
his whole game looks so much better.
And also, I think some of those missed shots, Chandler's getting a lot of those tips, like...
Oh, tap-outs and
stuff.
Yeah.
He's had 2 20-rebound games this year already.
It's ridiculous. Like, that's massive.
He's money.
All right, well, that's yes or no's. Let's go back into Around the World, if that's okay with everybody here. All right, so, guys, this is going to be a really hard one to talk about, because it's a low point, but we're going to talk about the 76ers, okay?
Yeah.
I know. No fucking fast-forwarding through this shit. No. We're talking about it, okay?
Let's fly through it. It's depressing. We were just saying it before, you know, when you touched on it. You know, we know what they're doing. Is it bad for the league?
Tanking on purpose.
Yeah.
And so, one little quick thing, you know, MC Williams not playing as well. Coming back from injury, getting more rebounds than Noel.
Is he really?
Yeah. But on a positive, McDaniel's currently third on the rookie ladder, and Noel's fifth.
The rookie ladder, super important. Yeah.
Well,
that's going to win you chips.
No, but is there something to say that they're just a really young team? Like, Michael Carter Williams was rookie of the year last year. They got two guys that are in the lead to be rookie of the year. Are they just super young?
They're the youngest team in history.
Yeah.
They're the youngest team in the league history.
So do you think everyone's giving them a little too much shit for that?
No, because like that's what happens when you play rookies enough minutes to climb to the top of the rookie ladder.
No one's dissing the players per se as such.
But don't you feel like the media and everyone are just hitting Philly harder than anyone? I mean, Detroit have only won 2 more games than them.
Yeah.
You know, the Lakers have only won 2
well,
more
Detroit
games.
Detroit are getting torn apart. Don't worry about that. But
yeah,
no,
but I feel like when I hear anything negative...
I just think it's misconstrued. I think the players are going to face the media. They have to. They have to answer those shit questions like, you know, what's the chemistry like? Why are you sucking? Like, I don't know how you answer that. They keep just saying, look, we're young. We're going to try and get better. We're going to try and stay aggressive. All that shit, you know. It's all cliche shit. This is a systemic problem at the top. And it's not necessarily even the Sixers' fault. It's the league's fault for allowing this kind of shit to happen. Because this is a fucking embarrassment on
what do you
on
mean
the
by
NBA.
That? Like allowing
teams to tank.
Yeah, because they've
you know like
they verbally said we're
clearly
tanking.
Said
yeah.
Well,
it's not like the Lakers or Boston
and
where
you can't
they're like
blame,
oh yeah we're just trying to win.
Yeah, I mean that coach wants to win every game, even though it's probably like you know.
And as
Brad
if the
Roberts.
Players don't want to win every game in Philly, it's like you can't blame even Philly when it's like, well, this is our best option. It's like a business. It's like our best option right here on paper is to get worse before we get better. You know, so we can get better, if that makes sense.
I think it sends the wrong message.
Tanking,
I agree.
Do you think it's going to fall on them, though, that eventually, you know, after years of just being shit, no superstar is going to want to be there? And any rookie
any
that
team.
Ends up
it's
being a
Philly.
Number one
yeah,
pick isn't going to want to stay there?
No, that's not what they're going for. They're going the OKC model.
Yeah.
You're hoping to get a transcendent player in like a Joel Embiid. Mm. And then you've got Nerlens Noel, who's another top pick, Saric, and whoever they get with the top 4 pick that they'll get this year. and Michael Carter Williams and whoever the fuck else.
Don't forget Durant was a rookie in Seattle with barely anyone, with an aging team around him. And the team moved to OKC. They got Westbrook.
With the fourth pick the next year because they sucked so bad.
Yep. There you go.
And so then the next year they got James Harden because they sucked so bad as well. Mm. And they're two of the top 5 or 10 players in the whole league. And so they're just going that route. And they're hoping that Embiid and Noel and Saric are those guys. And Michael Carter Williams to a lesser
extent. It's purely a business like decision. And that's
so
all
it sucks.
It sucks hard.
So they're kind of ruining it.
Well, it's just an indication that the NBA is like governed by the almighty dollar more than anything else, you know, and it's affecting, you know, quality of basketball on the court. And it's kind of sad, but I don't think you can be naive enough to think, oh, you know, fuck them for tanking. It's not. It's like it's the best option for them at this time. That's it.
Yeah, are we overthinking this though? I mean, is there just people apart from the Philadelphia fans from us on this side of the world? Do you care? Is it that much of an issue? Like, is it?
Well, it's sad. It's going on. Sad. It's happening. But it's the same shit with Orlando, or the same shit with fucking
other franchises have been through the same thing in the past.
Yeah, it's not worth like.
I don't hate Orlando,
but it doesn't
take
a lot.
I'm not telling you to hate him. I'm saying when you get to that sort of that space where Denver were toying with it for a while and now they've sort of come good and you're like, well, okay, every team goes through it every year where you're like, okay, we're at this point where we're not going to make the playoffs. You know, we'll probably only win like fucking 30 games.
Yeah.
Do we just suck even more, you know? And that's where the tipping point is, you know?
Yeah,
like this is where we choose to suck.
You can go really either way. Suck, you look at Sacramento as an example.
Or you look at Utah.
They're on that trajectory as well. Yeah. But, you know, instead of going, oh, we're going to like get rid of all of our useful players and bottom out. We're going to go and get Rudy Gay.
Yep.
And we're going to try and fight for the 8th seed. We're going to try and make the playoffs and be a winning team. That should be the MO of every single team.
It could come down to like the competitiveness of the actual owners, you know, as well. It's like, I fucking don't lose, man. I don't care. I don't lose.
Someone like Cuban, for example.
Sure, yeah. You could argue you'd probably never see Cuban... Yeah, but he
would never do that.
He's a savvy businessman, though. So see, that's where it comes.
He wants to move
you're
his
purist,
team to the
are
east.
You're a winner, and do you define winning as like I'll be winning in 3 years when my franchise has fucking got all these young ripping players, or I win right now. I can't lose no matter what. I can't lose to win.
It's not good for the players either. You're putting them in an environment where they're thrown into it straight away, and they're not really given a chance to grow. There's no veterans on that team.
No one.
There's no one to take someone under their wing and go, this is how you be a smart professional basketball player.
Yeah,
anchor them kind of thing.
That's you don't get that right away.
Was that the Cavs last year a little bit? Like no veterans?
110%. Yeah. So 110%.
LeBron comes over, Miller comes over, they get a bit of...
Yeah, Kevin they already Love know. Like, over. Kyrie's talking about that already, like going, oh, yeah, I didn't realize certain aspects of the game in my personal life.
Totally.
And, you know, the way I, you know, go
it's
with
great.
The practice
and
shit
how
like
would you?
That.
How great. Would you know? You know? You're getting paid all these millions of dollars. You're a young, you know, talented
20.
Black kid
yeah,
you know,
you don't
who's
know
had
shit.
Nothing. And then you get this.
I don't
this.
Know if it matters if
how
you're
do you
black
know if you're
that,
being responsible for your long-term career or not, you know? And then, you get into a bit of a morality issue with, like, a duty of care from the organization. Like, you guys are looking after these young kids' careers? Not really. You're just sort of, you know, like doing what's best for you, doing what's best for the bottom line.
Drug testing.
Where's your duty of care for these guys, you know?
I tell you, I made the mistake. I wanted to watch last night Philly versus the Timberwolves while I was running myself a bath to jump in with my toaster.
Why?
It was so fucking awful.
Why would you? Why? Why would you?
I just
even?
Wanted. I thought if they're gonna get the record of like the worst start ever, I just wanted to see. And it
was that last night.
Probably the worst
game of the season.
34-32 at halftime.
Gross.
85-77 at full time.
Yeah.
And it's just
it's
no
like
one
NBL
in the stands. And Minnesota, fucking awful as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They're missing Rubio Pekovic and Kevin Martin.
Yeah.
But, wow, fucking horrendous.
And Rubio. Rubio's gone.
Yeah, I said
Rubio.
I think I was watching it on Game Time, and one of the guys on there was like, this isn't really a win. Like, if there was any other team, they wouldn't have won. Like, it's not like they've, like, turned a corner or played better to get the victory. Like, they would have lost that game to probably 90% of any other NBA team.
And they even, they started going the wrong way. Did you see that? They were facing the wrong basket.
Yeah, that set a precedent for the whole game.
Yeah, and they
had
to stop the game and start it again.
Yeah,
like, I don't even know why that matters. Like, who cares what way you're running?
I think you get to choose. Isn't it the way the benches are aligned? You know, it's like we run.
Yeah, you play the opposite way that you warm
in
up.
In the first half.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
But yeah, shit.
It had Bloodbath written all over it back.
Yeah, I just...
All right, well, we did it, though. We talked about like the 76ers. Come on, be excited about that.
I hope it,
that was
mate.
Interesting.
I enjoyed it, I guess. Yeah.
All right, let's do another Around the World and...
No.
we're gonna have our guest, Dave, bust out one. What do you got for us, buddy? And if it's the Celtics, you can leave.
For my Around the World, I'm doing something a little bit different. I hope this is okay with you guys. I dug up a bunch of stats for this week in NBA history, and I thought there were a few things that were kind of interesting that I'd mention. On December 4th, which was yesterday, in 1997, Golden State Warriors Latrell Sprewell was suspended without pay for 1 year by Commissioner David Stern for attacking and choking Warriors head coach PJ Colissimo at a practice.
Yep.
This is around the period where Sprewell sort of proper was starting to lose his mind. So they're at practice. The coach had yelled at Spree to make more crisper passes, specifically asking him to put a little mustard on the pass. Spree said, "Don't give me shit. Don't give me stick today. I don't want to hear about it. Don't come near me. I'm not in the mood." And when the coach approached Sprewell, Spree threatened to kill him and dragged him backwards by his throat, choking him for 10 seconds against the wall before his teammates pulled him off.
Too much meth.
And then, so Sprewell, what does he do? He goes off, he showers, he changes, then he comes back 20 minutes later, accosts the coach again, and lands a massive right hook on his face, and then before he's dragged away by assistant coaches.
He had such a mad game. He was just such a loose unit, hey?
Yeah.
He's like the, you know, the Ron Artest of the 90s or some shit, you know? Such a shame. I bummed. Sprewell, I love watching Sprewell. He had such a mad game, but yeah.
All right, we got one last Around the World to do, and then we're going to get into hypotheticals, and I think it's your turn, Bag.
Yeah, well, I just noticed a little bit in the last week that some little commentary things have really garnered my attention. I thought they're pretty funny.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's not boring, but I guess we'll see. First of all, I was watching the Celtics and Bulls the other day. Legendary Celtics commentator Tommy Heinsohn. He's a known homer. And he's an offensive foul call on Jared Sullinger from Heinrich that he took offense to. Check this out.
Offensive foul is called on Sullinger.
Oh, that's terrible.
That is terrible. That is terrible.
He didn't like it.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
I've heard him do that before. Who did he do that to?
After
just
that,
I've heard him do something like that before.
Yeah, he's known for it. Yeah, but it's amazing. I'd never really seen it in real life before, so that's pretty good. Yeah.
Glorious.
That was good.
I've got a soundbite of most ripping into the Pistons that I have to show you that is where
I
got it from.
I know it all too well. Yeah. I love it. And so the next one, Kevin Durant's first game. Which is huge, FYI, him coming back, massive
27
MVP.
27 points or so?
Yeah.
They still lost.
Looking a bit weird.
Who'd they play?
The Pelicans. Yeah. And it's the Pelicans' home announcers.
Your boy.
Yeah, they thought they'd chime in. Steven Adams was getting a little bit frisky. And so one of the announcers thought he'd chime in with his knowledge on Aussie rules, as you do with a Kiwi player. You know,
awesome.
Super relevant.
Awesome.
All we need is a guy in a white suit putting his arms down like rules football. You know,
that guy.
It's good.
Sorry,
I don't
what?
Know what they do. That's rugby, isn't it?
What a retard.
Rules football.
Is he talking
Australian rules football?
Is he
very entertaining.
With cricket?
He thinks it's called rules football.
Yeah. He's talking about what he's talking about.
But why is he saying an all-white suit?
Because the umpire does the fingers.
Oh,
and stuff.
I thought it's like a cricket goal. Player.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
But
can we, again, I'm sorry.
Okay.
One more time.
Yeah, just hear it through.
All we need is a guy in a white suit putting his arms down like rules football.
Rules football.
You got it.
And how's it relevant to Steve Adams?
I don't know what they do. That's rugby, isn't it?
Do they have...
It's rules football. Australian rules football. Very entertaining.
They don't even have AFL in New Zealand, do they?
No, not at all. He doesn't know
Australian rules football.
Yeah, he's calling it. He's calling it rules. Rules football. That's great. But so the last couple of ones I want to show you is you know, you ever watch like the 2 minute highlight videos of the games on Apple TV and whatnot? It's a staple.
Absolutely.
And it's usually that overzealous black guy sort of making his little quips and stuff.
Yeah, everyone wants a tagline.
I always thought he was a white guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe we're thinking of a different guy.
Posso.
All right, go on.
But anyway, he for some reason over like a couple of days this week, he'd been replaced with, you'd think it was like a work experience kid, but he sounds like 80 years old. This like grizzled white guy.
Yes.
And it's insane what he gets up to. Yeah. Like, check out this one, him reacting to a Wesley Johnson dunk here.
Wesley Johnson working the baseline. Oh, my goodness.
Love it.
Did you see Wesley Johnson rock the rim of the purple and gold?
He's so into it. It's really
awesome.
Weird. Check out what he says about the Spurs on the give and go.
Who works the give and go better than the champs? Nobody.
It's hectic.
It just sucks. It's like he's like sitting there at like 3 a.m. 3 a.m. and he's got no one to bounce his stuff and go, hey man, does this sound any good? He's going to run it.
Somebody's called in sick for the day. No one there. Like, yeah, fully. He's like, all right. He puts a cigar down.
He's so out of touch.
I can be hip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check out the Jeff Green dunk he gets into.
Second half. Jeff Green with the ball up top. Boom. Finishing with authority.
It's like he watched NBA Jam in the 90s or something, and like that's his whole thing.
That's great.
It's hilarious.
Oh, that was awesome.
But yeah. Sick. That's pretty much it.
I love that.
Yeah, that was good.
We should do more of that.
Yeah, he's money. He did one more with Nick Young. I don't know if it's funny or not.
Nick Young in the fourth period. The fake and the score.
The score. Yeah. How much were you just begging for him to drop Swaggy P there?
Oh, deluxe. Yeah. I don't know if I found it funny because it's just like super blazed. And yeah. I was like, what the... It's like sort of bears down on you after a minute and a half. Yeah. You're like... This guy's fucking crazy. It was awesome.
All right, let's go into some random shit real quick. Uncle Drew is coming back. Does everyone know this? He's doing another one.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we just have a quick, who do you think is going to be the guest? I mean, it doesn't have to be LeBron.
It shouldn't be LeBron. It's too obvious, does it?
Yeah, but like everyone wants it.
Yeah, and LeBron wouldn't have to wear any makeup. He already looks 60.
All right. You got something, just random shit. You got something about Randy Foy, is that
Randy
right?
Randy Foy has this syndrome called situs inversus, and his organs are on the fucking other side of his body.
What? Really?
Yeah, his heart is on the right-hand side of his body.
You're kidding.
And his liver and gallbladder are on the left-hand side of his body.
I didn't even know that could happen.
Nah, it's fucking weird, hey.
How many like people Blair do you reckon?
No, one in 100,000 or something like that?
100,000?
Yeah.
That's not that... That is rare, but not as rare as I thought. Wow.
Yeah.
Does it hinder him in any way? Obviously not.
No.
Seems okay.
Yeah, they said like most people that have it have some sort of heart problems, but he's one of the ones that doesn't. He's all perfectly normal. Heart's on the wrong side of his body.
That's crazy.
I just couldn't skip over that when I read it. I was like, couldn't believe it. But yeah.
Amazing.
Enough said.
That's insane. And Sigur's back? That's pretty huge.
No, he's not back yet, but he's
not
coming
officially. On the road to recovery.
Yeah.
Everyone wants him. That's great. I can't wait.
You
saw his son got the reins for a little while. That was cool. Yeah.
And he's going to save it for Popovich, surely, right?
Of course.
It's going to be emotional. Dude, I can't fucking wait to see that.
Definitely.
Well, how do you reckon Pops is going to react when they speak?
Oh, he'll love him.
He'll hug him.
Yeah, of course.
They'll be in. He's been visiting him in hospital.
He gave him a message through his son because his son...
That's right. Yeah, I saw that.
And he was like, I'm just going to take this on and give a shout out to him straight away. It was awesome. Yeah.
And Wade Watch... My favorite section, Wade Watch. He played for New York. But how many games has he missed to date?
No, he played in a back-to-back.
Yeah, he's played a few. Yeah. I've got the stats if you want.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Wade's played 10 of 17 games. D-Rose, 11 of 19 games.
And I asked you guys, is he going to play over 63? And you all said no.
He's on target.
Is that the same bag?
20 games. Wade he's 7 already.
Yeah. Wade and Rose's tally. Is that the same?
Odds are good.
No, 11 and 19. All Wade's got to do is play one of the next two games. And
he's the same as the Rose.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be a race to the finish.
Odds are good for us.
All right. Well, that's about it for all things Full Court Press this week. We'll be back next week with another fantastic in-depth bullshit discussion about all the ins and outs of the NBA.
Please
subscribe
on iTunes. We need the subscriptions.
Subscribe.
Please, if that's okay.
Rabbit, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Always.
Dave, thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
We'll see you next time.
You going to say goodbye to me?
No.
Okay.